Just as I suspect you'd never linked oranges to flying jet planes, so you may not link the internet to being carried on light beams. Unless, of course, you heard the Science Show last year from Edinburgh. They use LEDs to carry the signal. And work at Monash is along the same lines. I talked to Professor Jean Armstrong about this spectacular innovation back then. This time, she describes her other ventures on the electronic communications of tomorrow.
The most recent thing I've been doing is building on the Li-Fi, and that's actually using it like a GPS system, but indoors. So virtually everywhere you go, you can see lots of lights. And those lights, if they're LEDs, can transmit information. So the information could just be internet downloading from, but it could be information about where that LED was. So it could be transmitting that I am in the left-hand corner of the studio, or it could tell you exactly where that LED was. And if you can see a number of LEDs, just as if you can see a number of satellites with a GPS system, the receiver can work out where it is. So it's sort of like a GPS system in that it tells you where you are, but it's much more accurate than a GPS system. Well, you can receive quite high power signals quite accurately, but it has to be done in a different way from the GPS, because GPS works by having very accurate timing. In fact, every GPS satellite has a very accurate clock in it, and you obviously can't have an accurate clock.
And it has an adjustment for Einstein's relativity as well, doesn't it?
Yes. So I don't think we can fit this in LEDs, even with the advances.
But if you're indoors, if I go into a hotel or an office block or the ABC, I kind of know where I am. Why would I need GPS inside for it?
Well, there's a few things. You could, for example, aid to the handicapped is a sort of obvious one. Another one is location-aware services, so it could tell you information about the hotel, or think of all the things that people now use on their iPhones. It could tell you whether the person standing next to you is a potential partner, or all sorts of things that location-aware services are.
Now you're talking.
Yeah, so lots of different things. I mean, when people invented the GPS, that was a military system. It was never intended for sat-nav or any of the other things people use it for. So, well, I'm sure there'd be lots of emerging applications. But there's also things like asset tracking. So one of the potential applications is things like in hospitals. People use a wheelchair or a trolley and leave it wherever the patient was unloaded. And there are trolleys in airports. And to keep track of where they are, you could very easily have a device that looked for the nearest LED, and the LED was saying you're in Ward 35. And then with the example of a wheelchair, the wheelchair would then use a conventional radio system, transcend back to base, this is wheelchair number 45.
And here I am.
Here I am, yes.
And what about the third thing that you mentioned, which is part of your work?
Well, the third thing is something called OFDM. But the way I tend to explain it is it's the next in the sequence of AM radio, FM radio, OFDM. So it's what's used for virtually every high-speed data communication system. So digital radio, digital television, Wi-Fi. So it's been used for lots of things, and for a long time I've been doing work on that area. But one that the general public might relate to is you can sometimes your television, your digital television, pixelate, so the picture breaks up. And that can be because the fridge goes on and off, or because a car drives past, or, as my husband says, if the neighbours mow their lawns. So what's happening there is that you're getting impulses of noise, and we've shown that by doing some clever signal processing, you can subtract out the noise and recover the picture.
Oh, you can block it, can you? Because I always thought the technology was conspiring against me and just trying to be difficult.
But so you can do a clever digital processing, but I actually visited the BBC and they actually said the best way to cure that was to have a better cable from your aerial to the television.
But, oh, I see. How prosaic, yeah. But is your system for shielding televisions?
No, it's actually the signal you receive is the signal you want, plus noise, plus spikes of interference caused by the next door neighbour's lawnmower.
Yeah. And subtract that.
You've got to do some clever signal processing. If you just try and look for big spikes, it doesn't work. You have to detect the data and then reverse engineer the signal and subtract out the...
And I suppose if that happens a lot, because in most places it happens just every couple of hours or so, it doesn't happen all that often unless there's a storm on, but you can do something, what, to the box on top?
Well, I've shown how you can do it digitally. I'm not sure whether any companies have actually implemented it. But yes, you can. But the other thing is to improve the connection to your radio.
It's a whole new world you're working on, isn't it? It's we who were used to the standard old-fashioned thing with the rabbit's ears on top of the telly and the old-fashioned Bakelite radio, it's a new world.
I'm sure you've gone beyond that, Robin. I'm sure you don't have a Bakelite radio.
Well, not much. The black box of TV and radio communications. Gene Armstrong is Professor of Electrical and Communication Systems at Monash.